Love Sport Radio. On digital radio, online, mobile and smart speaker. This is the Swansea City Fans Show.
Take me to the veterans.
With new fan shows comes new music on this, a relatively new station in Love Sport, and loving the musical genius of my producer Dave, by the way. He produces every single week. We're going to call him the mailman. He always delivers when it comes to music. A team that didn't quite deliver today was Swansea City. Yes, a 0-0 draw in the South Wales Derby at the Cardiff City Stadium to deny themselves the chance of becoming the first ever team in this derby to win a double. It was the 62nd league meeting between the two clubs. It's about 108 year history. It was the 109th derby in total. But no, the Swans couldn't quite get the victory today. A couple of chances, Burson Tolina hitting the post earlier on in the game, and Callum Patterson for Cardiff also hitting the bar late on with a header. But the shares were spoiled in what was a relatively, not dour, relatively uneventful contest at the Cardiff City Stadium. And earlier on today, we had Swansea City legend Alan Tate on the line. He was speaking with Miles Blumson and Dave Seeger of the Fans Forum. And did he think it was a fair result? Alan, what say you?
Yes and no. I mean, during the game, obviously we went bust. That's off the top of my head. I think we played a lot of good stuff in the first half, and just listening to your introduction there about the scrappiness, I think it definitely was a scrappy second half.
You want to see that, though. When you play in derby matches like this, it's hard not to get up for it, and tempers do get flared, and players do go in for those scrappy challenges. Sometimes it can lower the quality of the game. What's it like when you're preparing for a derby? Do you try and prepare in the same way, or do you really feel that the fans want this even more?
You obviously feel like the fans want it more. You want it more as players, because you know how much it means to the fans. This is just speaking from obviously the Swansea side that obviously I played in, and obviously coaching in now with the lads that played today. So they were well aware of what it means to the people, who they were representing, and they know that they're going in there to create history and do the double for the first time. So they were well aware, and just unfortunately it didn't come off. I mean, we were more than happy the way we played with the first half. We were more than happy with the effort that the lads put in throughout the game. I don't think that's ever in question with this bunch that we working with now.
So how impressed were you with the loan signing of Ryan Brewster, and how was he today? Because obviously that's a big young player, you know, in Welsh football right now, and obviously the big sort of marquee signing in a way, even though he's only a youngster, very high profile.
He's a high profile player. I mean, he's been well spoken of coming through the ranks. Obviously the manager knows him from his time with England, but today I thought he was brilliant. I thought he handled the occasion really well. Fed off the scraps that he had to feed off, done the little sort of horrible things that you don't see too often from young kids when they come and play first team football. He competed, he won flick-ons, he got his body in, he made a challenge early on and got booked, and played well for 80 minutes on a yellow card as well. So all credit to him. I mean, it was a really good start, and I think it's a sign that the fans can be excited about for the rest of the season.
Swansea, seventh in the table, only away from the playoff places and Sheffield Wednesday on goal difference now. This season, the playoffs, would that have been the goal at the start of the season? And do you think Swansea fans would be happy with playoffs, or is promotion a must for Swansea City this season?
Promotion's not a must, no. Will they be happy with where we are? Yeah, I think they will, because our fans are brilliant. They've obviously seen a transformation in the club from going from the Vetch to the Liberty, and the rise that come with that. But they're not stupid enough to think that just because we've come down from the Premier League that we're going to go straight back up within the next couple of seasons. They've seen the outgoings at the club in Ollie McBurney and Dan James, and I think they know that the financial situation is not as great as where it was obviously in the Premier League, for obvious reasons. But no, they're educated football bunch they are, so they recognise that if we get in the playoffs, it'll be an absolute bonus. But obviously, where we are is where we are now, and that's what we're looking at. Because, like you said, we're only off by a goal difference. I think we're only 2 points off being fourth, aren't we?
Yeah, you're very, very close. And it is the Championship is one of those leagues where you get a couple of wins, all of a sudden you can be up 10 places from where you were before as well. You just mentioned Ollie McBurney. I've seen the videos of him at the game in the crowd today. He obviously left for Sheffield United in a £20 million move in the summer. When it comes to Swansea City, with the connection between the fans and the players, is it the type of club that's hard to leave? And, you know, players like Ollie McBurney, who's Scottish, he's not like he's Welsh, not like he's from the area, but you played for the team for a long time and you're now still involved with the club and you love the club. Is it a special club in terms of that connection between the players and the fans? And are we going to see this a lot more with players wanting to come back and support the team in the crowd?
I'd like to think so. I mean, Ollie spent a long time here. I know he was only a first team player for a year as a regular, really. But he come through the 23s here from a young age, so he's got an affinity to the club. He's got friends in the area. I know he's good friends with Joe Roden. He's good friends with Joe's brother Sam. So Ollie's made friends outside of the football as well. And obviously Joe plays for us, but his brother Sam doesn't. So Ollie's made that effort to make friends down here. And I imagine whether Ollie's playing for Sheffield United, whether he leaves there, I'm sure he'll still be friends with Joe, with Sam, and I'm sure that Ollie will be a lot more games. And it's just an affinity that he has with the club. I mean, it's no different to me, even though I played longer than Ollie at the club. I mean, Leon Britton's the same, Lee Trundle's the same. We've got loads of sort of what you class as out of town lads who are still living in the area. I mean, Paul Reid, who when I first come down, he was in the first team in 2002, and he's still down here. John Williams, he's got family down here, so it is a tough club to be drawn away from.
Lastly, slightly not Swansea, but linked to Swansea, how impressed have you been last season and now this season by Potter? I mean, were you surprised he was poached by a Premier League side, and have you been impressed with what he's done so far at Brighton after what he achieved for you guys last season?
No, I wasn't surprised that a Premier League club coming from. I mean, when he was here, he'd done really well. Got us back to a sort of a style of play that the fans have become accustomed to, apart from probably the last 2 years in the Premier League, where it was chop change, and it got muddled and got lost in the traffic, so to speak. But he come in, him, Billy Graham, come in and done really well. Billy Reid, sorry, not Billy Graham. Come in and done really well here. And I think he's gone on to Brighton and he's doing okay there. I'm sure if you're asking me, like, be a few more points away from the relegation zone than where they are, but he's doing a decent job there.
He set the groundwork for what has been capitalised on this season. Swansea so close to playoff places. Can you see? Do you think Swansea can go up this season? And if they do, will they be strong enough to stay in the Premier League?
Do I think we can go up? Yes, because we're not far off the Premier League places. Do I think we will? A big ask. I mean, there's a long time to go. We're in January, but we're putting ourselves in the right places, and it's impossible to answer your question. It's a difficult one to answer because there's not many clubs can go up solely with the players that they've got and survive. I mean, we didn't do it last time. There was incomings the last time we went up, so it's not something you can really say that if we went up now, would we survive? We need to get up first, and then we'll take it from there.
Good points well made there from Swansea City legend Alan Tait. He was speaking to Miles Blumson and Dave Seager on the Fans Forum earlier on today on Love Sport. You can catch those guys from 3, 2 to 6 p.m. every Sunday here on Love Sport. And Alan Tait making some good points there about the game itself. Swansea, Steve Cooper did say after the game, didn't he, that it was a better point for Cardiff than it was for the Swans. They are still in seventh spot, just dropping out of those playoff spots because of that brilliant victory for Sheffield Wednesday yesterday against Leeds. You could not have foreseen that one. Cardiff, meanwhile, sitting in 12th on 38 points, 4 points adrift of those playoff spots, just 4 points separating the two teams. We're going to speak a bit more about the game after this. I dare say it, Swansea fans, but we're going to get a Cardiff perspective.
Love Sport.
Swansea City Fans Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. We've still got Norwich
coming up and Sunderland coming up as well. Niall Bromley, I'm just going to warn you now, he is going to be tripping off the walls. Another win for Sunderland yesterday, beating Wickham 4-0. What a win. That is terrible result for Wickham, to be fair. Falling fast in League One. Still in second spot, but Sunderland quite remarkably moving up to those playoff spots now. Do they dare to dream of promotion? Absolutely. They are not dreaming. They think that it's a realistic possibility now. How the tide hath turned under Phil Parkinson. Niall Bromley will be on with us for the Sunderland Fan Show at 10:30. Like I said, Norwich City coming up at 10 p.m. as well. Not as good a show, that one, especially for Norwich fans, losing 4-0 against Manchester United yesterday, rooted to the bottom of the Premier League, 7 points adrift of safety. Of course, Watford getting a great result against Bournemouth today. Kind of a good result and a bad result for Norwich, really. Bournemouth now also rooted in those relegation spots, but Watford climbing and climbing fast under Nigel Pearson. Just back to the game today between Cardiff City and Swansea, the 109th South Wales derby, and no double for the Swans. It hasn't yet happened in history in this derby, which is quite remarkable when you think about it. And after the game, Lee Trundle and Danny Gabaldon were speaking to Sky Sports. Danny Gabaldon quite interestingly said he was disappointed with Swansea. Now, I don't know whether this was a bit of a cop-out, but he said it was more or less a bit of a let's not lose this approach from Stephen Cooper. He said that Swansea had been more direct than he's ever seen them play. He said Freddie Woodman kicked the ball far longer than he has done all season. Lee Trundle kind of echoed those thoughts, to be fair. Said that Swansea had played out from the back quite long. And Rhian Brewster, of course, making his debut for the club since that loan spell from Liverpool. A tough game for him, though, having to play with his back to goal. Normally plays in behind those strikers, but you would imagine only good things will come, of course. Has got a history with Stephen Cooper winning that Under-17 World Cup. Earlier, Ben James from A View from the Ninian podcast spoke to Andy Hodgson's kicking off about the game, and let's just say he wasn't too impressed.
It was a horrible game to watch as a Cardiff fan. I think my jaw wasn't unclenched for the whole 90 minutes as a just kind of like a tense occasion where there's no real winners or losers from the game. It's just everyone I've been to in the past is horrible to watch, and it was no different, really.
But do you know what, Ben? I think you're wrong. It was a fantastic game of football. They were kicking lumps out of each other. They were facing up to each other. There was chest against chest. I thought they were going to get their boxing gloves out at one point. I love that in a derby. Surely, as a Cardiff fan, you were excited by all that stuff.
Well, of course. I love to see the players standing up for themselves and getting in the faces of the opposition. And I think it was a Glatzel and a Cabango squared up to each other. And I don't think I'd like to describe the Glatzel. He's about 6'5" and built like a wardrobe. But I think, yeah, it's just the overall occasion. I think it's hard as a fan who's so invested in things to kind of enjoy the game so much. You can't really relax and just watch it for what it is, because there's so much riding on it, and you just don't want to be the team that comes away at the end of the game on the end of a defeat.
Hi, Ben. Good to speak to you. It seemed, as we were talking about, a typical derby game, but with a distinct lack of quality. Is that the big thing, the big concern coming away from it, that there wasn't really any quality in the game? Or was it one of those, because it's a derby game, it is going to be one of those types where it is going to be a bit of an aggressive physical one and isn't going to necessarily be completely kind of endowed in real quality?
Yeah, I think we've seen it before with the derby games. I think when we beat them at the CCS about a decade ago, it was literally one moment of magic from Chopper that kind of opened the game up towards the end. And I think, you know, as much as we had Lee Tomlin out there, I think the game, as much as he tried to get involved, passes him by a little bit, and then that kind of sucks out his creativity, and it just becomes a bit more of a war of attrition. But I think, from my perspective as a Cardiff fan, I want to see Tomlin getting on the ball, and I want to see us opening him up a little bit. But I think, in reality of the situation, that it's on these kind of games, because they are so tense and because there is so much riding on them in terms of, well, today, you know, if Swansea had won, they would have done the double over us for the first time in history. And I think when that happens and you just have to accept that this game isn't going to be the most beautiful thing to watch, then I think we're happy with the performance overall.
Are you happy with Neil Harris? Have you settled into the point where you go, he's our manager, we like him, or would you still rather have Warnock?
I don't think I'd rather have Warnock, to be honest with you. I think he should have gone in the summer, but I think the jury is still out somewhat on Harris. I think there's been some good moments, but there's been some awful moments. I think we don't need to talk about the 6-1 loss at QPR. That's probably the
unless you want to. I mean, you can if you want, Ben.
Not today. Right. I won't go into it. And I think, but today was a more encouraging performance from Harris. I think if you watch that game, you'd probably say that Cardiff were the better team. We actually put some passes together and moved the ball around quite well, which we haven't really done before. We got about half the possession in the game, which is the first time I think we've done that under Harris in a little while. And I think if we can use today's performance as something to build on and bring in some more players, there's rumours that we're in for about 7 to 10 different players over the last week, and if we can get Tomlin more involved in things and start getting the best out of some players like Josh Murphy, who came on late on in the game, then I think there is more cause for encouragement, and I think I would be more happy with Harris if that led to improvement.
Is the key, do you think, Ben, going forward over these next few months, turning draws into wins? Because when you look at the table, it's only 9 wins for Cardiff, but only 7 defeats and 11 draws in there. That must be the frustrating thing, that you only look at it 4 points off the top 6. If Cardiff had turned a few of those draws into wins, gone for it a little bit more, they could find themselves at this moment in time in the playoff positions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, today's a prime example, really, is as much as I'm relatively happy with the performance, it's one that we had more shots on target. We had a few opportunities where we probably snatched at chances instead of working it towards goal a little bit more. And I think Patterson hit the bar late on. And I think it's just about getting that bit of edge. And I think one of the things we're looking at in this window is a striker who's going to be more consistent.
Goal! Stop there, Ben. Stop there. We've had a goal going in the Premier League. Pause.
I think we were discussing whether at 1-0 it was all done and dusted. You think from now on in, 25 minutes to go, Watford have potentially sealed all 3 points.
Oh, it gets more and more woeful for Bournemouth. If more goals go in, we will interrupt Ben. And he's all right with that because he's a lovely bloke. Ben, what were you saying? I've forgotten now. I've got confused.
I was just saying that I think if we get a striker in this window who can actually maybe get us 5 to 10 goals over the second half of this season, then I think we'll be looking more healthy in the league. And some of those draws that we have got, because I can say 11 draws in the games we've had, is probably about half at the moment, maybe just a little bit less than. And I think that's going to be the difference going into the second half of the season, where things get really tight, put a bit of momentum together, and then we could be looking at the table at the playoffs, really.
Right. Who are we going to sign, Ben? Because as a Burnley fan, I'm struggling, right? I don't know who we're going to sign, never mind you. So who have you got lined up in the Championship that's going to come in this transfer window and improve Cardiff?
Well, I think we put a bid in for Kiefer Moore, which I'm not 100% convinced on. But I think there's players like Jordan Rhodes. I think when you've got people like Billy Sharp looking for clubs, I'd even look at someone at Burnley like Vidra, because I don't think he's getting much game time, is he?
No, well, he got on yesterday. It was a surprise to all of us. The trouble is, when he gets on, he's not really doing anything for us. But you're right, you know, maybe he fancies a move away. Yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah, if he was to get maybe, you know, come to us and guarantee he starts 10, 15 games, then he scores goals in the Championships. And I think that's just the difference, really. We just need someone who's going to come in and we just need someone who's going to get us that 10 goals over the second half of the season, or even slightly less, you know. 5 to 10 goals would be ideal in the second half of the season from a player. At the moment, we just don't have someone consistently scoring goals. And I think when it gets tight, that's the difference. A proven goal scorer is truly the difference.
Is there a risk, though, that you bring in a load of players, and this is where Cardiff now is on, he's actually on a knife edge for me, that it becomes totally unsettled? Is that if you do end up bringing in, you know, 5 or 7 players, as you suggest, that just changes the dressing room dynamic completely, and actually it goes off the boil in the second half of the season, because who are the leaders now? Where are they coming from?
Yeah.
Some people are upset, and it's 50-50 for me as to whether it improves it or not.
No, precisely. But I think there's an element of high risk, high reward with a strategy like that. And I think we're in a position now where, you know, I would like to think we're not going to get relegated. I think we've got a bit too much to go down at this stage. But I think the reward you can get from getting towards the top 6 and getting into those playoffs are far outweigh the kind of risk in that sense. And I don't think we'll get 5 to 7 players in. I think if we're being serious, we'll get 3 to 4. A couple of players will move on, as we've already got rid of Gary Medin in this window. But I think it's just important that if we are going to strengthen in any position, that we are looking at getting 1 or 2 strikers in. And I think if it does put a few people's noses out of joint up front, someone like, you know, Glatzel's come in and hasn't scored many goals, but if someone comes in and puts the pressure on him from within the squad, then I think we could see maybe Glatzel improve. And if Ward comes off the bench and he improves, and then we've got another striker who's going to get us 2 or 3 goals as well, then I think it's just about adding goals where we can, and that'll be the difference.
So then, you know, the headlines tomorrow, Ben, you know what they read? They read, Ben James calls for Vidra. That's what it's going to say. You've said it now. It's out there, my friend. It's out there.
I think people would agree with me. I think there's a, you know, if he's not playing that much for Burnley, and we know he can score goals in the Championship, then I think he's a realistic option for us.
Ben James there speaking on Andy Hodgson's Kicking Off. You can catch that every Sunday between 12 and 3pm here on Love Sport. This has been it for the Swansea City Fan Show. We'll be back next week at 9:30. It's Norwich next.
This is Love Sport.